Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatonian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is January 5, 2023, or the 24th day of Tebet 2027. And we saw our first service with David, a psalm penning, and then we'll go into our service, taken from volume 1 of the Timely Readings, number 44. Entitled The Mighty Esau's and the Unpretentious Jacob. We just had this, but we're going over it again. Always have new things that can be brought to light. And Vicky Hollis, he gave this text of address June 7, 1947. Also, the name of the sermon is Things That Obtain Before and After the Earth is Made New. Okay, now we're going to study the 65th chapter of Isaiah. As we study, we shall see that it bears record of the things that take place in the period before the earth is made new, and in the period after it is made new. We shall begin our study with the first verse. Isaiah 65:1, I am sought of them that ask not for me, I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Paul, writing unto the Romans, applies this verse unto the Gentiles coming into the gospel. Romans 10:20. So they are therefore those who sought to Yahshua without the asking for him, and those who found him without seeking after him. For this condition laden with the results points out that the Yahshua is easily found. Isaiah 65:2. I have spread out my hands all the day long unto a rebellious people that walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. Here is a great contrast between the well-informed and the things of the other and the ignorant Gentiles. While the former are pulling away, although the Yahshua is tearfully pleading with them, the latter are drawing nigh unto him. Here we see now how patient Yahweh is, for he continues to plead on and on. It is hard for him to get up a sinner before all possible men. The saved are exhausted. Here is clearly seen that it is easier to save a heathen than it is to save a well-satisfied, deluded Christian. Isaiah 65:3. For a people that provoketh me to anger continually under my face, that sacrifices in the gardens and burns incense upon the altars of the brick. For the sacrificing in the gardens is for the making of a display of the religion, and altars as a brick, is as is actually the product of man, not as the Yahweh's creation as is a stone, or the works of man. Cain offered an undesirable sacrifice that the people got to read in this scripture offer on an undesirable altar. The one is as bad as the other. And what could altars of the brick be if not pieces of the worship which Allah himself has not commanded to be built? Isaiah 65:4. That remain among the graves and lodges and the monuments, which eats swine's flesh and broth of the abominable things is in their vessel. To remain among the graves is to be denied of having a part in the resurrection of the saints. Mm-hmm. And the lodge in the monument is to live in a so-called and exalted cliff of life, dead under Yahweh and alive to the world. For the Jews, were quite careful of what they ate. But here is a forecast of a people whose appetites are as loose as were Adam and Eve while partaking of the forbidden fruit. Although we as a people profess to be strict and the keeping the unclean meats away from our tables, this scripture nevertheless unveils the shameful truth, where it makes known that many are indulging in these abominable things in one part of the world. Perhaps they indulge in one abomination, and in another part of the world they indulge in another abomination. Isaiah 65:5. What which say, stand by thyself, come not near unto me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke and my nose. A fire that burns all the day long. On the one hand, they are as careless as they can be, eating anything and everything, clean and unclean alike. And on the other hand, they have a high opinion of themselves. They think themselves holier than any others. Plainly, then, those who indulge in the abomination, which verse 4 tells about, of Isaiah 65, are the very ones who protest against having communion with those who try to live a life consistent with their profession. During that the Reformation might take place. For the satanic indeed, Yahweh hates hypocrites more than he hates any other kind of sinners. Those who are thus pushed onto the right and to the left see the perfect fulfillment of the scripture at this very time. Isaiah 65:6-7. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent. that will recompense, even recompense into their bosom your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, said Yahshua, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Verse 6 needs no comment, and about a sentence on the verse 7, and it will suffice for the Pharisees of yesterday and the Pharisees of today. We see are to receive similar rewards. Okay, Isaiah 65:8-9. They said to Yahshua, as the new wine is found in the cluster, in other words, it's found in the church where the tares were at. And one said, destroyeth it not. But the wine is where you find the truth, period. And in that cluster of grapes is where you get your wine from. You also have some mildew and some dried up grapes that are no good. They're too green, they haven't ripened. You can't use them. Destroy it not, for the blessing is in it. Let's do that again. Isaiah 65, 8 and 9. For this saith to Yahshua, as the new wine is found in the cluster. Now the cluster means the laity. The vine itself means the ministry that the cluster is attached to. And destroy it not. Not wine is found among the laity, the members of the church, sitting out there in those pews. Somebody out there has it. For a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all, and I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountain. And my elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. This is, I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob. Now, who is that seed? Seed is David. That is typical David in the type, and antitypical David in the antitype. Now I'll tell you something else. As John the Baptist, Yahshua introduced as the Elijah of their day at the cross. And Elijah the Tishbite was the Elijah, was the first Elijah. Well, I guess he was. Actually, his Elijah was two parts of Yahweh's name, Eliyahu. So we don't know really who Elijah is. Yahweh just gives this man that wanted to destroy all of idolatry out of Israel. He came from Gilead, this man did, and he was a prophet, and he had a burden to clean up Israel and to bring forth a purified nation of Israel. Back then, when Ahab was the king of Israel, Ahab was married to a foreign Jezebel, a foreigner, wasn't even a Hebrew Israelite. And Eliyahu, which they cut his name down to in the English transliteration, to the five-letter word is Elijah. that has changed a Y to a J, Eli, Yah, by A. And so I say David in his day, which was 700 years before Elijah, was the Elijah of his day. And I say that any true prophet is the Elijah of his day. Because all your true prophets leads in profession and bringing Israel to purification. Moses, he was Elijah his day. So was Enoch and Noah and Adam. Okay. So he says Isaiah 65:8-9. Thus saith Yahshua, as a new wine, which means the laity that represents the remnant that will come to purification, is found in the cluster or the congregation of Israel. And one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So what I do for my servant's sake. So he said, I'll do it for my servants, S-E-R-V-A-N-T-S. Isaiah was called a servant. Jeremiah, a servant. Ezekiel, a servant. Daniel, a servant. All your prophets of old, and all your prophets are new. Their first title is their servants, which means they serve. In other words, they will serve at the foot washing. They'll serve the emblem. They're qualified to, because they are sanctified. Mm-hmm. As these saints are found among the terrors. So this says, Yahshua, as a new wine, the saints, is found in the cluster of the laity, that is mixed with both saints and sinners. And one says, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So what I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. So he's going to do this for his servant's sake, because he don't want to destroy the saints with the sinners. And I will bring forth a seed out of the Jacob, which would be, in our day, the 12th hour of the antithetical of David. Elijah David is his name. Let's call it again. His name is Eliyahu. He has Yahweh's name up front, and then he has his name appended second. And out of Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until a shadow come, and unto him shall the people be. He's going to bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah. Now Jacob would be the other ten tribes, would be antitypical Joseph. Okay, or antitypical Ephraim, which is the head of the ten tribes, son of Joseph, second born down in Egypt. And out of Judah, the lawgiver, an inheritor of my mountains. His mountains means all of his purified houses of Israel that have been purified, and all the righteous nations of the world. So in other words, he that overcometh will I make to rule over the nations. You'll find that in Matthew 24, 42 to 47, 48. You'll find that in Revelation 2, 26. So he said, an inheritor of my mountain, and my elect, those that are elected, starting with 144,000, they're called the elect, shall inherit it. Once my leader has inherited it, Elijah David, and he gives a message that brings forth the purified remnant, the first fruits offerings out of the Advent Church in the 12th day of the hour during the judgment of the living time. And my servants shall dwell there. The elder Judah is going to be an inheritor of my mountain. That's going to be Yahweh's prophet at the of the hour, and mine elect shall inherit it, and mine elect. Okay. Well, the house of David, every prophet is elected, and their followers that are sanctified with their preaching, they are elected. They're preordained from the foundation of the world. That's Romans 8:28-29 and 30. And Herod and my servants shall dwell there. So all of his servants are going to dwell there. Now, for the seed of Jacob, is the inheritor out of Judah. Okay, the seed of Jacob in these last days then would be the antiquity Elijah David. He, as the inheritor out of Judah, the lawgiver, only after Yahshua has come from heaven, taking his seat up on the throne of David. Only after that, when this is all set up, here on this earth. And he said he's going to sit on that throne and reign until he makes his enemies his footstool. So our enemies here on earth is Yahshua's enemies. And we become sanctified and purified, then he takes us under his wing, and he uses us as his servants. And his servants represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And each tribe of the 12 tribes will have a prophet, priest, and king emerge from that tribe. And that tribe then will rule over wherever ancient Judah or Dan or any of those tribes of the 12 tribes, wherever they had their place to live. That's where they have descendants right now. Anyway, after the church is purified, you get rid of all the wicked. After the earth is purified, then we'll occupy the whole earth again. The 12 tribes have their seats scattered all over the world. So they'll take their place in their respective inheritance. And they'll have a leader to rule over their people. For the seed of Jacob, that's the way it was in the time. So Dan ruled over and judged his people of the tribe of Dan. For the seed of Jacob, as the inheritor out of Judah, is the Yahshua, the elect. Okay. Well, in another place, it says that the 144,000. Are the election. Yahshua comes, and he claims them because they have learned the new song of Moses, and they learned that it's the sanctuary system restored for the eradicating of all sin and for the bringing forth the purified people, and they have accepted the sanctuary, they have adopted it, they perform their vows, so the wicked shall no longer pass through them, for their elderly cut off. And Yahshua comes, and he he inherits these people. And he sits upon the throne, and where the king is sit upon the throne, and Yahshua sits upon the throne of David, in the house of David, then all the members worship him. And he's worthy to be praised and worshiped, because he has brought forth a remnant by the spilling of his blood. And so everybody that is brought forth sanctified has to be covered by the blood of the Yahshua. For the seed of Jacob as the inheritor out of Judah the lawgiver, which would be then in our 12th hour, would be the Elijah David. He's a prophet appointed for the 12th parabolic hour. Brother Johnson was a prophet appointed for the 11th parabolic hour. Helen G. White, Jones and Wagner, Taylor G. Bunch, M.L. Anderson, B.T. Holler, Ben Roden were elected to work in the 10th parabolic hour from 1844. Succeeding each other down to 2002. So about 158 years, you had that many messengers, servants, that had a part to play in the three angels' messages, not the five, but the three angels' messages that run from 1844, 2300 year prophecy, being intact and unfolding with this several different facets to be understood, and that was the typical Day of Atomic, and that was and is the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, and that is the two phases of the judgment of the investigative judgment of the dead, and the investigative judgment of the living, when it's time for the one to end and the other to begin. It's called the investigative judgment, no matter whether it's of the dead or of the living. For the seed of Jacob, as the inheritor out of Judah, is the Holler says, of course, Christ. We would say is the son Yahshua of the Yahweh. He's the one that was elected his servant. So this don't make no sense. Yahshua is a singular term for meaning one person, and yet the elect means plural. It means more than one servant. You don't take a singular servant and put a plural of adaptation to his name. R is a present tense verb. And servants with an S on it means more than one. That would apply to the F, to the 144,000. These who escape the destruction, so it would be the first fruits of the 144,000, escape the destruction of the Ezekiel 9, here mentioned. For they are to be a blessing unto others. Symbolically speaking, the mountains are the kingdoms of Judah and Israel gathered together from all over the world the first duty is given first. They're the lawgiver. They're the ones that rule over the other 11 tribes of Israel. We always say 10 tribes, but Benjamin is the doorkeeper for Judah, so he's the 11th one. And Israel gathered together, as also foretold in the Ezekiel 17:16-28. But if taken literally, the mountains are those in the promised land. Now, true, there are symbolically and reality, there are seven mountains that runs in a chain link that surrounds Jerusalem. The praise are, mine elect shall inherit it. What's the it? Shall inherit my holy mountain, shall inherit the promised land that was promised unto Abraham. Changes the object from the plural mountain to the singular it. For whatever that means, and makes the symbolism carry both thoughts for the kingdom and the location of it. For the verse that follows verifies this very thought, Isaiah 65:10, and Sharon shall be a foe. A flock in the valley of Acre as a place for the herds to dwell in, to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. Now this is going to be a place for Yahweh's people, Israel, that have sought Yahshua, sought him out. That's where they're going to live, along the coast of the Mediterranean. In Israel, that's where your people that are going to have flocks. Here, why do we need flocks in these last days? Why do we need farmland these last days? Why is the earth turned into a virtual Garden of Eden that is there for the feeding of all the saints that are harvested from Adam clear on down to the end of time? What's the deal? Because the whole earth is going to be restored before our probation closes, and all the wicked are going to be dead and gone. The earth is going to be, and he's going to do this to prove what he said, that he's going to restore this earth back to its original and the side of the heathen. Well, he started restoring Israel. The land of Israel started restoring it back in the 1880s when the Jews in the land all over the world, they started migrating back to Israel in the 1880s. And from 1880 to 1935, the Million Testament Baptist people went over to do a work for Israel to convert them. And one man wrote a book called Restoring Palestine According to Prophecy. And he said, well, by 1935, Israel had become a virtual Garden of Eden already. Those liberal journalists, they wouldn't publish it. And the Washington Post and the New York Times and all those major publishing people, they wouldn't publish it. Okay. So let's read that Isaiah 65:10 again. and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor as a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought thee. We have a valley of Achor at Gilead Center, 2002. Only three people escaped to the valley of Achor. Verses 9 and 10 carry us from the Jewish period and to the antitypical apostolic period, which you have called it the Christian period. I don't like that, never have liked that word Christian. Once I learned the reason why it became a word to be used for those that have apostatized, and to include all of the Protestant churches, including the Catholic Church, as the leader of the Protestant churches, and the Seventh-day Adventist being the seventh Protestant church, proves conclusively that the Catholic Church has taken over all religious denominations of the world, including all the evil cults and everything else, and lumped them all together. Okay. Verses 9 and 10 carry us from the Jewish period into the antitypical apostolic era, then in the first century, and then down unto the restoration and consolidation of the kingdom in the 12th hour. Now get this. In the third prophetic hour, 2,000 years ago at the cross, it says Isaiah 65, 9 and 10, carried us from the Jewish period in the third prophetic hour into the Christian era. And the 12th prophetic hour that we're in now, and it took 2,000 years for this to happen. Then down onto the restoration, so after the Christian era is over, then on down to the restoration and consolidation of the kingdoms of the Judah and Israel, which are scattered all over the world, and they have to be brought into one place to be purified together, as Judah being the head of the 12 tribes, the house of David. And as a matter of fact, they are gathered together into the house of David, their representatives are, and Yahshua sent upon the throne of David to receive them in the land of our fathers. Sharon and Achor are two places to dwell in the land of Israel. Isaiah 65:11. That ye are they that forsake the Asherah, that forget my holy mountain, that prepares a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Yes, it says that those who are to be destroyed are those who do not particularly care for the his holy mountain. Okay. So the tribe that doesn't particularly care, or the people that are the terrorists in that tribe, because the 12 tribes of Israel has gathered terrors into their midst, wherever they are in the world. That's what it says. Those who are to be destroyed are those who do not particularly care for his own holy mountain, of whatever tribe it may be, for the kingdom mentioned in this scripture. They are those who prepare a table, or who assemble passages of the scripture taken out of the city, and with them they feed, teach, for the group or the troop that is of the same mind as himself. For the furnishing of the drink offering is as much as to say that the troop is drinking, and whatever their teachers put out. Isaiah 65:12. Therefore will I number you unto the sword, and you shall all bow down unto the sword. Because when I call, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. At this call of the Yahweh, they must not, they do not answer. Let's do it again. Under this call of the Yahweh, they do not answer. Neither do they hear him speaking. Let's do it again. For this call of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, for he has come to return to earth, and he's taking charge of his holy mountain, and that's the mountain of Judah. Do not answer the Yahshua. Neither do they hear him speaking, for many are inclined to do evil, for they delight in their own way and hate the Yahshua. Of this sin they are possibly not conscious. Isaiah 65:13-15. Therefore thus saith Yahshua, Son of the Yahweh, behold, my servant, the head of each tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel, shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, that you shall be thirsty. It's the leadership that has to drink from the fountain each day himself, and he gets the truth first from heaven, and then he passes it on to the laity, his members. Behold, my servants, the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, and Yahshua comes back and sets up the 12 tribes of Israel. But he has to gather them up from the four corners of the earth in order to bring them to his holy mountain in Israel to set them up. My servant shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for the joy of heart, but you shall cry for the sorrow of heart, and shall howl for the vexation of the spirit, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my people. For that sure son of Yahweh shall slay thee, and call his servants, leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, by another name. These evil doers may not now give even a thought to this solemn warning, that as sure as day is followed by the night, this as sure their want, shame, sorrow, and calamity are soon to come. For the Seventh-day Adventist denominational name will they leave unto Yahweh's servant, that is, unto those who escape from the Yahshua's sword, shall the name consequently be left. for the name, however, is left only as a curse to his servants, the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, will be called by another name. That was the mouth of the Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, shall name. Isaiah 65:16. That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Yeshua of the truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the Yeshua of the truth. Now, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. And this verse is implied that Yahshua is taking this strange action because his unfaithful servants have not been blessing themselves in the Yahshua of the truth and the Son. Consequently, they must have been blessing themselves in the God of the falsehood. That is, they have been teaching, approving, and spreading falsehood while the Yahshua is endeavoring to bless all his servants with the truth fresh from his throne. And to those who embrace his truth for this time, he will never bring up your past. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I will create the new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into the mind. Now, when is he going to create this new heavens and the new earth? Well, obviously after this heaven and earth has been destroyed. That's the original one that was created 6,000 years ago, the one that we live on now. And in here we are brought down into the time that Yahshua finally renews the heaven and the earth. Well, Yahshua comes back in the 12th hour, it's called the second advent. And what is he doing? He says, behold, I make all things new. And then he says that his ancestral servant, Elijah, is going to restore all things. Isaiah 65:18-19. Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people as a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of the weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of the crying. For we encourage to rejoice because Jerusalem as well as your people are created for the joy. Isaiah 65:20. There shall be no more offense in infinite days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be a curse. Isaiah 65:20. There shall be no more offense in infinite days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Concern the wicked and the earth made new, who come up in the second resurrection. The resurrection of the unjust, Revelation 20, verse 5, there shall be neither birth nor death among them for 100 years. That's the only children that shall be among them. Will be those who are raised from the dead, consequently, both those who are old and those who are young will have lived 100 years from the resurrection of the unjust unto the second death. Thus the child and the son is coming 100 years old and the earth made new, shall both succumb in the end of the century. And then the righteous shall inhabit the whole earth. Isaiah 65, 21, 22, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hand. Again we see that the hereafter is to be as real and as natural as was the Garden of Eden in the day it was created. So the message of the Elijah shall indeed restore all things, all that was lost through sin. Isaiah 65, 23. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Yeshua, and the offspring with them. Much as our labor on this earth is done in vain, and many of our sons and daughters are also born in vain, but in the earth made new, no one shall labor in vain, and nothing shall be brought forth for the trouble. Isaiah 65, 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. For the answers to some of our prayers, we often wait long, and most of them are not answered as we want them to be. But in the earth made new, there shall be no delay and no disappointment. Isaiah 65, 25. For the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and death shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Yeshua. There shall be peace all around. We shall not see men quarreling, nor beasts fighting and eating one another. There shall be real and perfect peace among them all. If we could only realize that Yahweh has prepared for them that love to study His word and to walk in His ever-increasing light, then we would make Yahweh's business our chief interest, then we would no longer waste our energy striving for the material things of life. They will be added and to ask for we diligently labor for the upbuilding of his kingdom. For he himself said, the workman is worthy of his power. This brings in about 36 hour contact. This is the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archive. Share this message anymore. We're going to close now with a song.